You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
We're here live in LA with Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. I got so much to say today. I think that I'm just blessed to be here with another guy from Draft Class 2011. I'm bringing in my guy who was a quarterback for me two seasons ago, Andy Dalton. Started off in 2011, drafted to Cincinnati. Had a phenomenal career with the Bengals. Bengals? Did you say Bengals or Bengals?
Bengals.
Bengals. And then, you know, comes down to New Orleans 2 years ago. Was one of my greatest teammates. Finally getting to go on a double date with me and my wife. And then he kicks us to the curbs for the Carolina Panthers. I appreciate you tuning in, tapping in, bro.
If that's how we're going to go into this thing, then let's do it, you know?
Yeah, you know, you and your wife... Me and my wife, we sit down at whatever Greek restaurant it was in New Orleans after the season. I was like, huh, we have dinner buddies now.
Talking about our big plans of how we're going to do life together. And next thing you know, I'm no longer there.
You leave us.
We're gone.
Like all my friends have done over the years.
It just means we're old. We've been doing things the right way, you know?
You know, for all the things that we've talked about, you know, somewhere during that season, we brought back Red Rocket, Red Rifle. I think I messed that up 75 times during the season. I was like, for whatever it was, you were slinging, wheeling, and dealing the rock, and it came back up for a solid 2 or 3 weeks. We were in team meetings. We had the Cincinnati Bengals play where you became Red Rifle and Red Rocket? Red Rifle.
Yeah.
Double R.
Well, then there's obviously a great, when you were mic'd up one time, you were giving me a lot of love on the sideline. A lot of Red Rifle comments. And
double R. So,
double R. I love it.
Oh, man. Did you have any favorite travels this offseason?
I'm trying to think. We, you know, being in Carolina and being in Charlotte, we've done a couple of little weekend trips down to like Charleston or out to the mountains and highlands and Cashiers and stuff like that. But then
the mountains, sir?
Yeah, exactly. I knew nothing about that whole part of the country. Next thing you know, we're living there and we're going to the mountains. We're going to the beach. And JJ and I just get back from the Bahamas, so that was a pretty good little trip.
Here we go get a little vacation in. Oh, love that part. Well, what part of Bahamas?
We were in Nassau.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you do the little is that the one where they have the pigs that swim in the water?
We did not do that.
Okay.
No.
Okay. There's one in Azumas, but there's apparently one in Nassau.
Sure. What about you? You're the one that's all over the place.
No, man. Look, I just. Yeah, I had to get surgery, so that's dampening my travel plans. But I did just come back from Liberia, you know, hit Ghana early on.
Right.
Love Ghana so much, I doubled back for a second Africa trip. I think the next one, me and Nikki are going to, like, try and dip into Japan.
Yeah, I think I saw something. Something happened where the y'all's maybe mother-in-law couldn't come watch the kids, and so she had to stay back. And
you know, I was like, man, I got to go to Ghana by myself. Crazy. Over 13 years, headed into 14 years, it's been a blessing. But is there a way you prepare, or how does that change over the years? Where, you know, when you started off at year one versus going into year 14, is that preparation changed for you at all?
It definitely has. And I think, you know, especially when you get into the season, you obviously have seen so much football. You know how certain teams are going to play you, so you can spend time on little details rather than the big picture of it all. And so, as you know, you get into year 13, 14, whatever it is, and you're not having to think as much. You're just able to react and play and know what's coming. And so and the preparation from an in-season standpoint, and then off-season, you know, everybody's got their different way of doing things. But I feel like I've got a good routine of everything that I do.
Having us here, let's just talk about it. I talked with Roman and Peanut Tillman earlier, and they, you know, they challenged me on our draft class. And I, you know, I was like, our draft
what did they challenge you with?
I don't know. Our draft class is the greatest ever. I was like, it's the best. We're the best.
Just look at the first round.
Which is crazy because we can bring up second, third, fourth, but it seems like every draft class is sort of heavily regarded by their first class, right? They're just like, all right, the first class. You look at the first round, and you're going to be like, all right, that's your draft class, which is crazy because there was guys like you. There was guys like Justin Houston. There's Richard Sherman. But just look at the first round. I don't know, out of, 32 picks, there had been, I'm looking at, 15 Pro Bowlers?
It's crazy.
Hard to miss.
It's crazy.
Hard to miss. Significant progress on how to draft the draft class.
Yeah.
Pro Bowlers
in there, there's going to be arguably a lot of Hall of Famers in that.
Right.
Too.
That's what I'm just. I guess if you say
best draft class ever, that's subjective. Everybody's got an opinion. Yeah, but
everybody.
I mean, there's. I think the numbers aren't going to lie on this one.
That's what I'm saying. You should just trust the numbers that happened.
Yeah.
You know, there was Cam Newton, number one. Then we go Von Miller, Marcell Dareus. Then it gets even better. AJ Green.
Yeah, my guy, AJ.
Like, you guys came together. That's a hell of a draft class. You drafted Andy Dalton and AJ Green and put them together.
Solid.
That's a great connection. Then from there you go Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Alden Smith. And then, you know, the quarterbacks of the first round after that, it was Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, and okay, fine. But then you have Tyron Smith, J.J. Watt, Nick Fairley. Nick Fairley was a dog for some
years. Yeah, he was.
You know, Robert Quinn, 100 sacks.
There's a lot of 100 sack guys in this group too.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn, myself. Ryan Kerrigan stopped at 90-something,
yeah.
94 and a half. I'm like, come on, just get to 100. Finish it. But you know, there's a tackle, Nate Solder won a couple championships with the Patriots. You know, I know you weren't there. We had Prince Amukamara.
Yeah.
Come to the Saints.
Oh, I was not there with him, but I've been around Prince.
Prince is a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. But just talk about that first draft. Like there was excellence. And then we're still in the top 20. Then there was, you know, me at 24, Mark Ingram, 28, Muhammad Wilkerson at, you know, what was that? 30. And then Cam Hayward. Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
Just
Pro Bowlers all over that.
All over
that draft.
All over. And then you talk about, again, second, third, fourth round, guys like you, again, Justin Houston, Richard Sherman. There was guys that were just making names for themselves from our draft class. I'm just going to continue and stay. We're the best draft class ever.
The amount of times that we talked about this when we were teammates a couple years ago, 2011, best draft class.
Boom.
Damn.
I'm just going to keep saying it, and I'm just hope that everybody hears me. So I'm just going to do, like, if there was a hypothetical draft do-over, right, given your accomplishments and your performances, do you slide into that first round? Where do you think you'd be selected?
I mean, I would think that I would be the second quarterback taken. I think Cam still goes number one overall.
For sure.
I mean, look what he was able to do in his time. And mm-hmm. when he was at the height of his career, I mean, he was one of the more exciting players in the league.
For sure.
And so
MVP.
I would assume that I would probably be the second quarterback taken. But
so you take Blaine Gabbert. Or no, you take
Jake Locker.
Ooh, at Tennessee.
So, ooh. But I'm not mad about what happened.
Absolutely not.
If I could go in the second round instead of the first round and have AJ Green go in the first round and that be my guy, I'm all day. I'm taking where I went.
Yeah, what do you go? Like a 7,000 yard seasons in a row, 8,000. It was something
crazy,
something ridiculous,
crazy.
You out there just red rifling that thing, just wheeling and dealing. what do you think is the most significant change that's happened in this, you know, game's evolution from when you started, when we used to maul quarterbacks, and not have to worry about, you know, the rules implied, to where we are now, where now we're all wearing jimmies at practice?
Well, I think the style of play has also changed, because it was a very much run first league when we first came in the league. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, it's all about the pass game, all about the quarterback, all about trying to score points and all that kind of stuff.
And even that has changed, because now you can throw over the middle and not get reprimanded. Because you used to be able to, your rookie year, you threw over the middle. You had people coming down hill.
The player safety stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it hard on somebody that's playing defense.
Yeah.
You know, where you can hit the quarterback, where you can hit a receiver. Is it in the head? Is it in the shoulder? Is it, it's tough to be a defender these days. It's hard to play. But, I mean, I understand the argument of we want to protect guys. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, how do you, your natural instincts are going to take over? And
no doubt, if I'm coming downhill, do you think I'm really thinking?
No, you're not.
Where do I place my head?
Absolutely,
it has to go across the bow. It has to. I have to make sure.
And that's going
to
come into this whole hip drop tackle thing.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Until they made it a thing.
And
now it's a thing.
Now it's like, I don't know. Are you in the middle of making a tackle? Are you going to think, I can't do that and let go?
Don't let me swivel my hips. In fact, let me let him go so he can gain more yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all for it. 15 yards. Let's keep it going. First down.
Sucks for you, Cam. Also, move me on down the field.
Yep.
Dang it. Yeah, that hurts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Bro, now that you're over at Carolina, you've gone through a few teams. One, do you have a favorite franchise? I'm gonna say this. I'm just gonna assume it's the Saints. Okay, I'm not gonna let you answer that. And then two, you know, when you went to Charlotte, you know, before they drafted Bryce Young, I was like, all right, he went from starter in New Orleans to starter in Charlotte. Then they draft Bryce Young, and you know, the reins were given. How is your relationship between you and him? You know, you were excellent for us, and then became our starter and took over. Is that sort of, you know? I guess it can't mirror Charlotte, or what is the expectations there?
Well, you know, when I left New Orleans, I obviously got to start for, 14 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And felt like I played pretty well. And for me, going into that free agency that year, you know, there wasn't a ton of opportunity for me to go in to be the day one starter. I got to Carolina knowing they had the first overall pick. You know what's going to happen there, regardless of how good I was playing in the offseason and the OTAs and all that kind of stuff and in training camp. It's the number one overall pick. He's going to play. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that going in, so it made it easier, like mentally going into it saying, okay, regardless of what you do, you still prove yourself. From day one, I walked in and said, like, you know, I'm going to show you what I can do. And, you know, I felt good about what I was able to do this past year and just being on the team and to help Bryce and to help him grow. Obviously, it was a year of he had to handle a lot of adversity.
Right.
There was a lot of things that were kind of stacked against him that he had to try to overcome and had to handle. And he's never had a season like that in his life, from right. high school to college, being a Heisman Trophy winner and what he was able to do at Alabama to then get into the league and have to handle that. But I think what we've been able to do this offseason and to try to bring in the right pieces and everything, I think we're trying to help set him up to have a more successful season than obviously we had last year.
Right. I'm not saying that's going to be easy to do, but...
Well, when we play Saints. It's two wins on the schedule right there.
Mm, for us. Yes, it is. Okay, was there a moment or throw or a game from last season that you can point to say that, like, Bryce is going to be okay and figure it out?
There was a game we played against the Packers. We did not end up winning the game, but you could tell he kind of took over in the game and was... Like everything was flowing. He was playing on time, playing in rhythm, making big plays, getting out of the pocket, finding guys down the field. And it was a game like, okay, this shows what he can be if we kind of get everything around him built the way it needs to. And so that was a game. And even though like I wanted everything for just to win that game to felt like, okay, hey, you've got to feel that moment of you or feel like you're taking over the game and you found a way to win. We obviously didn't win, but it was a game that felt like, okay, this is definitely something that you can build on.
Okay. All right. And building blocks, especially for a young quarterback, is key. Confidence is key. Not that, you know.
It's year one.
It's year one.
You know,
but as the number one overall pick, you know how bright that spotlight was.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think especially with the success of some of the other quarterbacks in that draft class too.
Right. CJ Stroud.
Yeah, CJ. I mean, he had an unbelievable year. But the best thing for you, as you know, is experience.
Yeah.
To be out there.
Absolutely.
If you're not out there, you're not getting that experience and you're not.
That trial through fire is real. Because then you really figure out that mental spot too. Like you figure out if you're a dog and that's like able to weather the storm, or do you sort of like tuck the tail and like, I can't do this.
Right.
Like, you could shine bright whenever you're having immediate success, but are you still shining as brightly like when you're not?
For sure.
Being in that role, does that change how you approach, how you take care of your body at all? Mentally and or physically?
Well, physically, this is the best I've ever felt because you're not taking any hits.
You're not getting,
you know, I got right. one. I got one game this year, and you know, felt a little soreness. Felt like I was part of it. Then after that, my body was feeling great. You know, the best I felt going into an off season. But yeah, I think it allows you time to focus on some other things too. You know, your body being one of them. You know, making sure. Yeah, you know, I probably spent more time in the weight room and training room and stuff just because you. I mean, the toll you're not having to do all the extra stuff that, you know, the starter has to do. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm in a great place right now.
Okay. Mentally and physically.
Not ready. Meaning that I'm not ready to go whenever that
figured. You say you all walked in into the offseason feeling the best you've ever felt. That probably bodes well just in case your number is called.
It's time, you know what my offseason is now? Is tennis.
Right, huh?
Yes.
Wasn't expecting. I mean, I should have expected.
You that. Should have. You yeah. knew that was going on. You, JJ was getting your
no
getting,
doubt.
Getting Nikki out
JJ
there.
Was getting my wife Nikki out there and starting to play. And now she's like, "Babe, when are we going to play?"
Yeah,
we're not. We're not. I was like, "My body hurts." Actually, I'm looking forward to pickleball. That's going
to
be mine.
Well, the good thing is tennis translates so well to playing quarterback with all the different movements that you do, and so I've been all in, and that's been my offseason.
Game changer. How much longer do you want to play?
How much longer do you want to play? Again, the conversations that we That's had awesome. When sitting in the locker room.
Been waiting for this one.
Yeah. You know, I want to go as long as it keeps making sense for me and my family. My body feels great. I feel like, you know, I can keep going. I think it'd be fun to touch 40 years old.
Woo!
Yeah. Oh, so
you're my hero.
Because so we'll, that's not happening. We'll see. 36 right now. I'll be 37 in October. So. Mm. It's only a couple more years, okay. But we'll see. If, as you know, we get to this thing and we evaluate after each season and see if we want to keep going. But I'm still loving it. I still enjoy the game. Still love all the stuff that goes into it. And so,
and that's why we're here going.
At
the
here we are.
At the broadcast workshop. What are you looking forward to this week?
I think there's so many different avenues and different, you know, realms of the media and. We, as players, see it from one side. Now, you obviously different. You've got your whole cool graphic up here with
oh,
off
guy?
The edge. Oh, yeah, this off the edge podcast and all the different things. But you get to see the different side of the media and kind of get to experience all the different things, whether it be from calling a game to doing podcasts to being in studio and all the different things. So I'm just here to learn from the people that are going to be presenting to us, kind of get some of their knowledge and hopefully, you know, see what if this is something that I want to pursue moving forward. And, you know, I think it's definitely a great opportunity, obviously, that the NFL puts this thing on, that we get a chance to come learn from the everybody here involved.
See if you want to pursue. So you see yourself in the space. Like, how active do you see? Are you going, like, Pat McAfee, like, build out your own studio in Charlotte and just make the media come to you? Or are you going to, you know, do like, you know, these quarterbacks do and have the deal done years in advance and then just go make
Hey, we'll see. I'm here. Okay. So that's step one, right?
Right. Step one is showing up.
Yep.
Can't get a blessing without ever stepping into the church, you know? So I understand. Got to step in and see what makes the most sense. Ooh. I look forward to that just because, like, people don't know how fun you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they know Andy Dalton, the quarterback.
I was talking out here and with one of these guys, I'm saying, I feel like I've been very vanilla in my interviews. No. You know how a lot of people do. It's like you ask the question and I'm going to answer and I'm not going to answer your question, but I'm just going to say what I want to say and kind of move on from there. And so this is a good opportunity to kind of get to show a little bit of personality.
Absolutely.
Show,
let the red hair flare.
the hair is flowing.
All right. Final question. Whenever they talk about quarterbacks, right, they talk about, They never talk about like the throw percentage. They never talk about like, hey, these are the wide receivers they threw in his career. They talk about winning. So at this point, should winning be a part of a quarterback stat?
I mean, I think it should, because at the end of the day, it's all about winning.
The business is.
You know, that's right. What it's all about. Now, winning can look a lot different based off of what team you're on, who you have around you, and all that kind of stuff.
losses can look a lot different based off
who you know,
what team you're on, who you have around you,
nobody,
all that kind
nobody
of stuff.
Cares about like how you didn't have any receivers to throw to, you know, like if for whatever it is, quarterbacks get judged quickly on like, oh, they won 2 games last year, 3 games last year, 10 games last year. They get judged ASAP just off of, you know, whatever was given to them.
I mean, I think the people that really know are going to go and look and see, okay, well, why?
Right.
You know, like it's,
the average fan doesn't care about your
why. The average fan is going on online and looking at stats
looking up the fantasy points that they
score. And the fantasy points and all that kind of stuff. And but I think that's what makes guys special. People are going to talk about Tom because of what he was able to do. Win 7 Super Bowls, play in 10. Like, for a while there, it was our whole career. He was playing in the Super Bowl. Like, every year he was in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And shoot, what Patrick's been able to do at the start of his career.
Right.
I mean,
it's like what has it been, 4 out of 7 Super Bowls out of the 7 years he's been here, 4 of them? I'm like,
yeah.
I just want one.
So, don't we all?
Dang it.
You know, I think that's what makes the good ones great. Now, you can, you know, again, based off your team, there's been some quarterbacks that have made it to the Super Bowl and haven't, maybe not all of them won. Some have won Super Bowls that they weren't the ones that,
Definitely weren't the driving force. You'd say the team won.
The team won this, yeah. But at the end of the day, that's what you're measured by. So that's all that matters.
Gee. I appreciate it. That's all the questions I have for you. I appreciate you for tapping in at the show, man. I know you're here for broadcast, but even saying yes to getting you on the pod, I'm super excited for you this week. I hope you do join media in whatever capacity that you see fit. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you guys for listening to the pod. Tap in wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app. Wherever you get it, make sure to follow, hit the likes, leave us a 5-star review. I appreciate y'all. This is Cam Jordan on my podcast, Off the Edge, with my guy, Andy Dalton. Y'all have a blessed one. Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.